The following message is brought to you by City Place Church and Pastors Damon and Taisha Moore in Orlando, Florida. We hope this message inspires you to build new dreams, ignite your faith, and be established as the leader God is calling you to be. For more information, visit us online at cityplacechurch.com.
We have hundreds of people watching every single week. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I'm going to read a little bit, tell a few stories. We've been talking about praise. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It'll be on the screen behind just for time. I don't want to waste your time this morning, but I do want to preach. And again, I feel like that if God says something to you, talk back to me, I won't get distracted. The ride, I feel like, is a little bit better. If he doesn't say anything, then you talk to him after service. You know what I'm saying? But that's between you and him. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 21 says this. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing. Everybody say sing. To the Lord and to praise. Everybody say praise. Praise him for the splendor of his holiness. As they went out to the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. And as they began, everybody say began. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated there. As they began to sing, as they started to sing, as they just began to say, lift it, Jesus, as they just started to sing, they didn't even finish the song, but as they began to sing, as they started to sing, y'all with me, I'm overkilling it, as they started, they didn't get it out, they didn't finish the song, they didn't get the bar, but as they began to sing, the Lord set ambushes against the people who were coming against them. Now go over, it's on the screen, to Acts chapter 16. So they began to sing, and the people were feeling God's pain. Acts chapter 16, verse 25 says this, and about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing. Everybody say singing. Hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. And then suddenly, and then there was ambushes in 2 Chronicles. Then suddenly in Acts, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And at once, all the prison doors flew open. Not just the prison that I was in, but everybody's chains were loosed. All because I began to sing. I didn't finish the song. I only began to sing. 2 Chronicles, they started to sing, and the Lord was like, you don't see me around this corner. Acts chapter 16, they start singing and praising, and then suddenly, things start to shake. Last week, we started talking about praise, and we said, in my life, if it's going to be built on God's word, then worship must be a pillar. We said that praise was to glorify God and to express thanks and love and respect to him. We said worship was extravagant respect. It was expressing reverence. And we said that in order for us to be able to worship effectively and to give God praise effectively, we have to know why we're worshiping. So we gave five things just to catch you up. And if by some chance you can't keep up with me this morning, you can watch it online or at our City Place Church audio podcast on iTunes. I love saying that. Now, just so you know, the lights are dim. Anybody gonna fall asleep? Anybody getting sleepy? If you're sleepy, raise your hand and I'll come out there and preach like literally right beside you. I'm serious. I'll do it. I'll do it for two reasons. One, to keep you awake. The second thing is for effect. You know what I'm saying? I'll lean on. So here are the five things and the reason why we worship. We worship God for what he's done. First and foremost, that's the foundation. Jesus died on the cross for me. Thank you, Lord. I worship you just for that. I worship him now because based on what he's done, he reveals his character. I know who he is. So I start on the axe. Oh, man, he's amazing. The second thing is now since I see that he can calm a storm, he can part the Red Sea. He can heal my body. I realize that he's my protector. I realize that he's my healer. I realize he's my sustainer. I'm learning who he is. So every time God does something for you, you say that that's who he is. So I worship him for what he's done, worship him for who he is. I also worship him because I was created to worship. Peter says that you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a person set apart by God to show forth the praises of him. You've been set aside to just give him praise. I said it earlier in Psalms, it says that out of you, God has ordained praise. So there's praise on the inside of you that God put in when you were born, when you were birthed, to come out of you at an appointed time. Every single day is your appointed time to give God praise. So I give him worship because I'm created to worship. We finished our services by finalizing two simple thoughts. We said, we worship because God desires it of us. God loves to hear you sing. God loves to hear you chatter. We put it like this. We said, praise the Lord on the stringed instruments. Praise him on the timbrel. Praise him with the dance. Praise him on the loud clanging cymbals. Praise him on the harp. And then at the end it said, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. So the band can do their thing and they can sound real good. But when you can't load up Mikhail's drum set in the back of your car and it's just you and your cassette player, old school, 8-track, depending on if you're driving a Cheville, and it's not working, the only thing that you have as a tool to give God praise is the very breath in your lungs. So sometimes the song that's on the inside of you sounds better, whether you're screaming, yelling, not making a single on-tune point. It sounds better to God than the sound that came forth today. Whether you're, God, I love you. He says, whoa, my goodness, that's what I wanted to hear. Sometimes you and I are silent because it may not sound good to you, but God is like, can you play track number one again? When Daniel was singing, when Liz was singing, when Chris was singing, I know to you they didn't sound really good, but to me, oh, wow, they were bringing it this morning. So sometimes on the inside of you, you and I can't hold on to the praise because we just feel like it's not the time to praise. We have to let go of the praise, one, because we were created the praise, and the other thing is that God desires to hear the praise. So we finished our service by having the cymbals, and we had the sound, and the worship was going up, and the final reason we said that we worship because it shifts the atmosphere. I can have a crazy day, and I put on Kenny G, Silhouette, old school. Everything's old school. That's the timing. And all of a sudden, I can calm down. Or if somebody make me mad, I go to gangster rap. Because I'm mad, and I'm mad, and I'm going to let everybody know I'm mad. Why y'all laughing? Music shifts the atmosphere, and sometimes you don't even know why you're mad. I don't know why I'm going to cut them all. Everybody's yelling. And I'm like, I'm not buying the CD because it's going to take me a month to learn. I'm mad, and I don't even know why. Anybody ever been there? Huh? Have you ever pulled up to the person, and for some reason, they want you to listen in on their music? And I don't know if this y'all think this about me. I'm like, I can see through your car. The left side of your window is up. Your side that's on my side is down. Did you plan this? Because your gangster rap is now making me mad. Can you please roll up the window? Thank you for letting me vent. We're family here, and I feel comfortable in sharing my personal faults with you. Anybody else been that way? Anybody like my mom is here. This is what my mom does. My mom, if you out of line with your music, my mom will do two things. One, she will lock the door if she hadn't already. Clank, clank, clank. Oh, no, you don't with that loud music. The second thing she will do is she won't suffer through it. She'll be like, scoo. That's my mom, and I learned that from her. So if you pull up beside me, I will ignore you. Look at the person beside you and say, So you're created to praise. Worship changes an atmosphere. But then the two stories that I started off with, we find that worship becomes a weapon. It's a weapon that sometimes I place and I don't know if you're with me, the least priority on. Anybody else? I'll pray. I'll declare. But sometimes the trials of life will beat me so much to where it's hard to utter the worship and the praise side until I get back into church. Anybody else? The stories that I read to you are not happening in a service. They're not at church. They're not at the appointed time of worship. They are in the middle of an attack. Now, there are two stories that I read to you, and if you will give me just a few minutes, I'd like to take you on a journey. Is that all right? 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Acts chapter 16, verse 25. If I can, I'd like to sit that story aside, come back to it, because it'll play in the end. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we find that there is a group of people, and then the Bible says that when they began to sing, the Lord set ambushes. But in order to understand the context, I must take you back to the beginning of chapter 20. And in chapter 20, we find that Jehoshaphat has heard that there is an attack coming from his enemy. And it's not just coming in one direction. It's coming in at least three or four. And so the enemy's coming in from this side, coming in from this side, coming in from this side. Have you ever had one of those moments when it felt like one thing came and you could handle that, but as you were focused on that, the other thing came? And now it's starting to get overload, and you're starting to look at God, and you're starting to question, hey, do you see this? Are you on duty this week? The first thing I was able to kind of pray through, that was the weapon I can kind of reach and begin to do. The second thing, now you're starting to play with my emotion. I'm starting to get a little nervous. I'm getting a little concerned because I thought you would show up doing the first thing. Now, since the second thing, I'm starting to doubt whether you're really paying attention to what is going on, because the first thing seemed big enough to me, but the second thing is about to take me out. Have you ever been there where it rains and it pours? That's what's happening in 2 Chronicles. So the Bible says that the people say they're coming to kill him, and Jehoshaphat goes to all of the people and says, we're going to fast. So they fast, and right after they fast, I believe it's in verse 14, it says that the word of the Lord came through a prophet, and he says, listen, don't be afraid, don't be dismayed, for the battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. I'm talking about praise, but can I encourage you that your dream, that your problem, you will have to show up. The enemy will bring it to you. God will give you a dream that seems like it can crush you. But at the end of the day, God wants you to not be afraid, not be dismayed, because it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to him. Are you with me? Watch, the dream that seems bigger than you can manage, beyond your reach, is not yours. You have to show up to accomplish it. Don't be afraid of how big it is. Don't be discouraged when you start running after it, because it's not yours. It's the Lord's. The circumstance of your life, the negative doctor's report, the problems in your family, the problems in your marriage, yes, you will have to show up, but don't be afraid, don't be dismayed, because that problem, while you're showing up to it, is not yours, it's the Lord's. So he tells him, he says, everything you see doesn't belong to you. Does that not make sense to you? Because you and I have to live it out. Doesn't that seem unfair? That God would say to you, don't be afraid, don't be dismayed, because you just have to go through it, but I own it. It's kind of like somebody else's apartment. But at the end of the day, the person who owns the apartment that you're renting is responsible for all of the care of it. They're responsible for making sure the grass is cut, unless you live, you negotiated that. They're responsible for making sure that if something breaks down, they're supposed to fix it. They're responsible for paying all the taxes and all the mortgage that they own or have. They're responsible for it. So the owner is responsible for everything else. We just get to live in it. So he says, no matter what comes, no matter how big you're dreaming, It doesn't belong to you. Let me have it. So the Bible says that they say, okay. And then he says, well, wait, whoa. Now tomorrow, you got to read it in 2 Chronicles. He says, tomorrow, go out and face them. Okay, well, so wait. You just said the battle's not mine. Oh, no, I know that. But if you don't show up and face your enemy, he's going to think he's won. So it's up to you to show up for the big dream that you're dreaming about. Don't just keep talking about it. They're coming. They said they're going to do it. Don't just keep talking about the fact that you want to own a business. Don't just keep talking about that you want me to heal you. Don't just keep talking about that you want your marriage restored. Show up for the counseling session. Show up for the class on how to handle business finance. Show up. Don't worry. I own it. Don't be afraid. No, be dismayed. Then he adds on and he says, now know what you're going to be thinking when you get there. Do I have to fight? By the way, you don't have to fight. So the battle's not yours. Show up tomorrow. You don't have to fight. I'll fight for you. So the Bible says, and we're going to end up in our text. Y'all said y'all give me a couple of minutes. So it says that they show up, and as they start walking, it says that Jehoshaphat, watch now, it says that Jehoshaphat stops, and he immediately goes to bow. He immediately goes to worship. I'm going to prove it to you. Watch. It says in verse 18 of chapter 20, it says Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground. And then after the leader bowed down, all of the people fell down and began to worship before the Lord. Can I tell you that if you, in your home, regardless of what other people are doing, if you would take a minute and say, I see the attacks coming, and I got to show up, and I know that this is not mine, the dream is so big, if you will start the whole process and say, God, I'm going to give this to you first, then everything else in your home is going to say, well, if they're doing it, we're going to do it too. So he's here. He's giving worship while he's going out to fight. You're crazy, man. My response, if worship is a pillar and God's word is my foundation, he told me not to fight. He told me he would fight for me. He told me to just show up. So I'm walking out on the word. But something in my past made me not just show up and say, well, God, you told me that. Something on the inside of him said, I was created to worship. God desires to worship. I'm going to praise him for what he's already done in the past. I realize who he is because we prayed and we fasted and he answered right away. He's promised us that he would deliver us, so he's already been a deliverer. I've asked for a request and he's answered it. So if there's nothing else, I'm going to give him praise right here. Oh, I know we're marching. Give him praise right now. Give him worship right now. If there's nothing else, if he hasn't done anything else, the fact is we're marching to the fight. We didn't die along the way. When we prayed, he answered our prayer. He told us we don't even have to show up with eager arms to fight. He just said, just show up. Can I tell you that when you go to the doctor's office and the doctor's giving you the negative report, show up. But while you're riding in the car, God, I give you the praise because I'm driving in my car. I know I don't see the report yet, but you told me not to be afraid. You told me not to be dismayed. So I'm going to give you praise right now. I'm giving you worship right now. Because I'm going on your word, and my praise and my worship has to be a pillar. And since it's a pillar, why don't I just make it a weapon? So it says that he's bowing down, and he begins to worship. Can you go to the next slide? Verse 19. And it says, while he's laying down before the Lord, some of the priests say, if he's on his knees, why don't I begin to stand up and yell loudly, God, you're able. It says that the Kohathites and the Kittites stood up and began to scream loudly, God, you're able. You're heading to the fight. The people hear you coming, but instead of seeing fear, they hear, God, you're able. God, you're worthy. God, you're for us. Can you imagine? So you've got one person here. God, I bless you. God, I magnify you. Then you've got another group going, God, you're worthy. God, you're magnificent. God, I love you. One group's here. God, I magnify you. God, I adore you. Then you got another one. God, you're worthy. God, I praise you. That's why I love church. Because whether I'm here or here, it doesn't discount the effectiveness of what God receives. So whether you are here or you're jumping around like Travis and you're jumping like this, both are here. God, I love you. God, I magnify you. God, Jesus, you're worthy. Jesus, I give you glory. Great is your name. And Jesus is going up in heaven. They both sound real, real good. These people have made praise and worship a pillar. See, sometimes if my expression of worship doesn't match yours, I get disheartened. Because some people will do a flip, a turn, a cartwheel, and we'd be like, oh, we praised him today. And meanwhile, you got another person over here crying. And they're in their own moment with God. Then you got somebody else who's just rocking. And I'm looking, and everyone could be looking around. And if you've been in church long enough, it can be intimidating. Because it looks like everybody's hearing from God, getting a touch from God. Throw all that aside. If you're here, God's saying, give it to me. If you're here, hey, God, I give you the glory and honor. He's like, give it to me. There is so many avenues of praise. But it has to be a pillar. Y'all all right? I told y'all, just give me a couple minutes. So he says that they stood up, and it says, and then early in the morning. You mean to tell me that when you were praising, you weren't even on the field yet? Early in the morning, after they've already given God praise the night before, he says that they went out, and they started again. Verse 21 says, and after consulting the people, he says, hey, so here's what we're going to do. I need you. That song that we were singing the other day, get that started. Get that started. That song that we were singing, get that started. Get that started. You right there in the back, get that song started. Hey, you over there, get that saying. Hey, you way in the back, get that song started. Get that song started. Get real loud. Get that song started. Get that song started. Hey, you over here, get that song started. You. That's what it says. It says he appointed people. He said, you, get that song started. And it says, as soon as they began to sing, as soon as they begin to sing, ambush. Not the whole song. They begin. Holy. Can you see that? Can you see Jesus like? How cool is that imagery? That Jesus, God is like, angels, three on the left, four on the right. They about to get it. Bring the hammer. Ah! And it says, as soon as they began to worship, all of heaven was like, yeah. And it said that they were eliminated that day. Can I tell you that wrapped up in that chapter, we find various types of praise. If you're taking notes and you're in a service, see if you can identify where you are. The first one is the yada praise. It means to extend your hand. I surrender. Oh! We're going out here tomorrow. But God, I love you. Oh, the reason why we lift our hands is because sometimes in the middle of my fight, I'm done. Have you ever been there where you're like, I'm done? Who would have thought that my surrendering was worship? It doesn't seem super spiritual when I'm in my broken place about to throw in the towel and my surrendering becomes worship. Take it.
Have you ever been at a place where you wanted to throw in the towel, wave the white flag, say I'm done? Who would have known that at my broken place, it was my yada? It says that when they began to sing, praise the Lord, for his love endures forever. And they were worshiping the glory of his splendor. Tehillah means song of honor, fame, and glory. So not only are they just talking about him, but they're singing about how amazing he is. You are the God that brought the people of Israel out with your mighty hand. You separated the Red Sea. I don't know what they were saying, but this is how me just going into the story. They're talking about how big he is, how bad he is, how bold he is. And they're singing this, and they're doing a Tehillah. You are amazing. And then they did a Barak, which I showed you was to bow down. It started with falling their face to the ground with Jehoshaphat. And then all of the people began to bow down. That was a Barak praise. It's saying, God, you are king. I belong to you. The Todah means to extend the hand for what was done. Oh, snap. For what was done, which was one of the reasons why I praised him in the first place. Oh, wait a second. So you mean to tell me that one of the responses and types of my praise was based on what he did? So my Todah praise is thanking him for what he did, or an agreement. Go out tomorrow. All you have to do is show up. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. I'll fight for you. The battle isn't not yours. It's mine. Do you agree? So I give him praise because he made me a promise. I'll go out tomorrow. But you will fight, right, God? Deal. So I give him praise for what he's done. Zamar praise is to praise him with the strings instruments. Here's what's really cool. If you go on to the end of the chapter, it says that after God brought him victory, Jehoshaphat says, now wait a second, guys. Wait a second. We won. Now it's time to give God praise. And he says, hey, bring out the strings, bring out the trumpets. And it says, this place will forever be called Barak, the same type of praise that meant bow down. So there is the Zamar praise. Then there's the Shabak praise, which means to shout, proclaiming unashamed the glory of God. We saw that when Jehoshaphat was bowed down, that the Levites, some of the people from the Levites stood out and began to say, hey, God, you're worthy. God, you're honored. They gave him a Shabak praise. Worship team, you can come up. Get ready to praise as you come. Hallelujah. So as I conclude, it takes me to Acts chapter 16. I read that earlier to you. Acts chapter 16 and verse 25. And remember now, in 2 Chronicles, they went out, they said, God, we're giving you thanks for your love endures forever. Acts chapter 16, verse 25, it says, come here, Jared. It says that there was two men tied together. Derek, can I borrow you real quick? Two men tied together. There was Paul and there was a Silas. Worship team, get ready. And it says that they were chained together. And at about midnight, it says that they began to sing and pray. At midnight, they began to sing and pray. But this is how I think about the story. I wonder what happened before midnight. I wonder if while they were there, they were trying to think about, oh man, how did we get here? Because the way they got here, they were praying for a girl who was saying, these are the men of God, and they got tired of it, so they cast the devil out. Boom! And the people who were over her said, this dude is costing us money because she read poems and stuff. So they threw him in prison, beat him down bad, and it says that when they went into prison, they shackled him, locked him in chains so that they could not get out. And the story that I read to you said, and at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. But what was happening before they got to midnight? I wonder if Paul and Silas were going through all of the stories of the foundation of the Word of God, and they were trying to find a story that they could relate to where they were. And they could think of, you know, David back in the day, he threw a slingshot. No, we can't use that one. No, we can't. How about, where they marched around the wall of Jericho? They shouted, but they didn't really sing. Okay, no. Okay, Nehemiah built the wall. Yes, Nehemiah built the wall. And when the attacks were coming, he set up some people to play the trumpets. And no. That's not relating. But whoa. I wonder if one of them looked at the other and said, what about Jehoshaphat? Well, what about him? You know, when the armies were coming. Yeah. What happened? All they did was show up. Keep telling me the story. They showed up. You know, you remember. Yeah, I vaguely remember. This is Paul and Silas talking. I vaguely remember. Well, tell me more. They began to sing. Well, what did they sing? They began to sing songs of worship. Story goes that Jehoshaphat started the whole deal off by worshiping. Well, you think maybe we can do that? We can try. Do you have a song? This little light of mine? What else? Tell me more about the story so that we can get in the atmosphere. Well, it says that God told him, don't be afraid, don't be dismayed. He was with him. You know what? God's been with us this whole time, because I was a major sinner, Paul said to Silas, and he met me. You know what? Let's just start there. Why don't we start with praising him for what he's done? God, thank you for delivering me. And so they begin to praise, and they just begin to worship for who he's done, who he is. And then I can see them getting close to midnight, and they say, well, I remember the story now. They praised, and God began to set ambushes. And they didn't sing very long. It was a suddenly praise. Most theologians say that when we read in Acts chapter 16 and verse 25, most theologians believe that the hymns that they sang were called the Paschal hymns, which the Jewish people call the Great Hallel, which is the seventh type of praise. I only gave you six earlier. This one means to shine, to make a show, to celebrate, to act like a madman while you're strapped up in chains. There's something on the inside of you that begins to celebrate and act like a madman because of what God's done and who he is. And the Bible says that the songs that they sang was Psalms 113 through Psalms 118 and Psalms 136. What does it say, David? I'm glad you asked. Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Psalms 114, tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord. Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, who turned the rock and the pool of water, the flint into fountains of water. Psalms 115, not unto us, O God, but not unto us, but unto your name be glory, because of your mercy, because of your truth. Why should the Gentiles say, where is their God? Verse 12, the Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. Psalms 116, I love the Lord because he heard my voice, my supplication, because he inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call on the Lord as long as I live. Psalms 117, praise the Lord, all his nations, extol him, for the great is the Lord. Great is his love towards us. Psalms 118, the Lord is my strength, my song, he's become my salvation. Verse 17, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Psalms 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his love endures forever. Whoa. Old school. Sing unto his splendor. Give thanks to the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. For he is good, for his love endures forever. Acts chapter 16, verse 25, Chris. They went old school. They went old school. Reached into 2 Chronicles and said, if it worked for them when they sang it, we should sing it too. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Old City Place Church, old school, Old Testament, old school, New Testament. Today you're at City Place Church. What was old can become new if you'll just stand.
That's all for this week's podcast edition. Join us online at cityplacechurch.com for more resources, upcoming events, or to submit a prayer request. Or if you are in the Central Florida area, join us on Sunday morning for a life-giving service that builds dreams, ignites faith, and establishes leaders for the kingdom of Christ.